You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
What's up, Buffalo Fanatics? Josh Allen here. Just wanted to say, go Bills.
30 seconds and counting.
There were plenty of years where there were guys who would dread being drafted by the Buffalo Bills. Not anymore.
Astronauts report it feels good. T-minus 25 seconds.
Brandon Bean realizes they're in a window of 2 to 3 years max to get this done while the iron's still hot. And getting Von Miller into that situation was big for the Bills.
10, 9.
Oh, baby.
Ignition sequence start. 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0.
Is up, Buffalo Fanatics. C-Bot here with you. Monday night, it can only mean one thing. It is the Smoke Break live on the Buffalo Fanatics YouTube channel. So good to have you in, fresh off the first Sunday slate of NFL football as we approach the first Monday night football game of the year. The newly led Denver Broncos take the field in the former home of their new quarterback, Russell Wilson. Broncos, Seahawks getting ready to get underway. I'm seeing Joe Buck and Troy Aikman take my screen for the first time this year on ESPN. That's going to take some getting used to. Everything's different this year with the broadcasting. This coming up Thursday, we'll find that out for real as the first game to ever be broadcast exclusively on Amazon Prime comes up this Thursday, and it's a good one. Chiefs, Chargers. But week one gets rounded out tonight. Broncos, Seahawks. Hope you enjoyed your weekend. Hope you enjoyed football that wasn't the Buffalo Bills. I'll tell you this. Is there anything better than sitting back in on a Sunday, settling in, just baking in that couch with a W already in the bag? I mean, football is so much more fun to watch when the Bills already have a W. You know, if the Bills are playing on Sunday night, it's a really stressful day. You don't get to enjoy the games as much. The anticipation for the Bills the following, slate that evening gets you all anxious. Tough to relax Same thing with a Monday Nighter like we have coming up next week. But this week, you get it out of the way, you wax the LA Rams, and you have a full Sunday to sit back and watch other teams and what the Bills might have to compete with this coming Sunday. Or not this coming Sunday, this coming season, rather. Speaking of Sunday, we're going to get into what happened yesterday in depth, talk about what we saw yesterday, what the Bills can expect to see from teams that are on their schedule, perhaps teams that aren't on their schedule, but they might have to face later on down the line in the playoffs. Plenty of top teams that we thought were top teams coming into the season struggle in the first week of the NFL season. So we're going to take a look at all of that. Massive show for you today, as always, fully loaded. We're going to talk about week one, of course. We're going to dive into everything we saw, like I just said. We are also going to have the Thigh Doctor on. He's going to update us on Tre'Davious White's injury. He's also going to update us on Ed Oliver's status and what we can expect from him coming up this week with our big Monday night matchup versus the Titans. And, of course, speaking of that Monday night matchup, that's why the thumbnail of the show says Bills-Titans preview. That's what this show is going to be all about. We're going to look forward to a revenge-fueled Monday night home opener for the Buffalo Bills as they look to take the momentum from that dominant win against the LA Rams into Orchard Park as they play host to a Tennessee Titans team that is coming off a horrendous loss to Brian Daboll in his career opener as a New York Giant head coach. Incredible, stunning upset. Titans are going to go into this game with a huge chip on their shoulder. Start praying for them now because they're going to need all the help they can get coming off a game like that as they enter into Buffalo. My guy Rev Rhodes going to join me later on in the show as well. He's got a little bit of a mechanical problem right now with his food truck, he's telling me. He was supposed to join me right off the gates, but he's running into a little bit of car trouble. So he's going to join us later on in the show, and we'll get into a variety of different topics throughout the night. So Thursday night was in the books. It felt like forever ago that the Bills played, didn't it? I mean, it really felt like a light year ago. And it's wild that we have to go from the Bills playing Thursday, watch a whole weekend of football, and then wait a whole nother week and a whole other weekend of football just to watch the Bills again. It's almost like torture. What they showed us on Thursday night was so prolific. You want to see more of it right away, and you got to wait the longest amount of time possible in order to see them again. But I feel like it's going to be well worth the wait. That matchup is going to be extraordinary. Nothing can be a home opener under the lights after a game like that against an opponent that the Bills definitely have had on their radar since the schedule came out. The Titans have had the better of the Bills the last few times out. Some have been close, of course, like last year where a Josh Allen slip away from winning that game. Others not so close the year prior, the COVID game in Buffalo where the Bills just couldn't match up with the Titans no matter what they did. This year is a different year. I said going into this year, I felt like the division was going to belong to the Colts after what we saw yesterday. I'm not sure who that division is going to belong to. But the Bills are a much better team this year than they were last. I can't say the same about the Titans. So I'm very interested to get into that game next week, take a look at what we can expect from either side, and ultimately what I think is going to happen as a final outcome. Let's talk about yesterday, though, before we dive into next week. We got to put a bow on week one. It's funny, once you get a taste of what the Bills were able to bring to the table on Thursday night, you kind of watch the Sunday games through a different lens. And that lens was, wow, are the Bills just that much better than everybody else in the league? If you're like me, that's kind of how you watch the games. Of course, you got your Homer glasses on, you got your blinders on. And if you're like me, you like to dim those blinders a bit because you like to be realistic. But from what I saw yesterday, throughout a full Sunday slate of NFL games, you'd have a really tough time telling me that there's any team in the league right now better than the Buffalo Bills. Plenty of things shocked me yesterday. Plenty of things did not shock me. I'm going to touch on everything there. The one thing that did not shock me, and the one team that stood out to me as the team that once again is going to be right there with the Buffalo Bills, is going to be their biggest test as far as getting to the Super Bowl once again, it is the Kansas City Chiefs. There are plenty of people out there who looked at the Chiefs as soon as they moved off from Tyreek Hill and said, oh, they're not going to be the same. Forget it. Mahomes was built on Tyreek Hill's ability to get down the field. He's bailed that offense out on numerous occasions, allows for an explosive offense that just can't be recreated without him. And I said, whoa, wait a minute. This offense under Andy Reid, Patrick Mahomes, it's one of the best we've ever seen. There is no reason to believe losing Tyreek Hill is going to stunt that offense at all. Are they going to be as explosive? Perhaps not. There's nobody as explosive as Tyreek Hill in the league. And even yesterday with the Miami Dolphins, we saw what Tyreek Hill can bring to a team. That Miami Dolphins team is much, much better with Tyreek Hill. He bailed Tua Tagovailoa out of a handful of throws that would not have been completed to anybody else. In my opinion yesterday, and you can say whatever you want, those watching this who aren't a Bills fan, you can say whatever you want about Tua yesterday. He played fine. There was nothing about Tua's play yesterday that was impressive. There was nothing about Tua's play yesterday that made you feel any better about him moving forward, at least in my opinion. But that addition of Tyreek Hill is going to be a major factor for the Miami Dolphins. We saw it yesterday. But the absence of Tyreek Hill for the Kansas City Chiefs, in my opinion, it's not going to be as big a factor as people made it out to be. They ran the scoreboard up yesterday against an Arizona Cardinals team that, look at, when you look at the NFC, they're right there. Might not have looked like it yesterday, but when you look at the landscape of the NFC, the Arizona Cardinals are going to be in the mix all season long, and the Chiefs made them look like a peewee team. They sort of made them look like the Bills made the Rams look. And then you get to thinking, well, let's take a look at the similarities. Both quarterbacks pop off. Both offenses pop off. Defense plays extraordinary. And then you realize the Chiefs are still the Chiefs. Patrick Mahomes is still Patrick Mahomes. In this rivalry, this new, unbelievable rivalry that has formed between the Bills and the Chiefs over the last handful of seasons is going to be just as electrifying this season as ever. And I know it's just week one, and that, of course, is why we talk about these things today, because there's no better day than the Monday after week one, because that is where the overreactions hit their peak. Thing is here, I don't know if I'm overreacting at all. You take a look at the sample size yesterday, and of course things are going to change. The Colts aren't going to be as bad as they were yesterday, you'd think. The Titans aren't going to be as bad as they were yesterday, you'd think. The Bengals aren't going to turn the ball over five times and get sacked seven times every week, you'd think. What I do think is the Chiefs are going to be as good as they were yesterday every week. The absence of Tyreek Hill really gave people false hope that they were no longer going to be a juggernaut. They're totally going to be a juggernaut. Now, nothing to be afraid of, nothing to be scared of. I'll take the Bills over them any day of the week right now. But if you want to talk about lining up a team, 1A, 1B, when it comes to the AFC, when it comes to making the Super Bowl, when it comes to even the NFL in its entirety, were there any two better teams this entire past weekend than the Buffalo Bills and the Kansas City Chiefs? And that is what we have come accustomed to in this league. It is the Bills and the Chiefs out of the AFC. A lot of things going into yesterday I thought were going to happen wound up happening. Let's touch on those first before I get into what shocked me. Going into this season, I felt the top three AFC teams are going to be the Bills, the Chiefs, and the Chargers. Yesterday, albeit a very small sample size, but it's the only one we can base it on. Yesterday, out of week one, the results showed me that I was exactly right. Those three teams look like they are going to be the cream of the crop in the AFC. Why? Well, they have the three best quarterbacks. Josh Allen, Patrick Mahomes, Justin Herbert, you can take anybody else. That is as good as it gets right now in the NFL, those three. And they're all similar in a variety of different ways. They can all throw the ball 100 miles an hour. They can all throw the ball 200 yards. They are all mobile. They can all read the field very well. They're great leaders, great representatives of their organization. Those three guys are what you're looking at right now as the future of the league. And to me, it's no secret as to why those three teams are the best currently in the AFC. The Raiders made it a game. But if you watch that game, to me, the Chargers felt like the better team throughout. Devontae Adams, he's going to be a problem. Devontae Adams was definitely the spark the Raiders needed. But you can tell when it comes to the Chargers roster and the Raiders roster, the Chargers are still a notch behind. The Chargers, to me, are still a notch behind the Chiefs and the Bills, but to me, they're right there. They're third. And I would be stunned if the LA Chargers do not make the playoffs this year. If they don't, Brandon Staley's going to be working at a Burger King somewhere. It would be inexcusable for the LA Chargers to not make the playoffs this year. This team is damn good. Would not be shocked at all if it came down to the Bills Chargers in an AFC championship game, but I would put any amount of money on it right now that the combination of the AFC championship game is going to be a mixture between either the Bills, the Chiefs, or the Chargers. You can go out there and argue whoever you want there as far as who gets into that game and who doesn't. As far as week one is concerned, that would be my pick. And hell, going into the season, that was my pick. All three of those teams looked extraordinary. Let's talk about a couple of teams that stunned me as far as looking the complete opposite of extraordinary. Number one, the Indianapolis Colts. Wow. Wow. I understand the Texans might not be as bad as they're perceived to be. I don't think Davis Mills is all that bad of a quarterback at all. Lovie Smith is an underrated coach. He always has been. But the Indianapolis Colts have a hell of a roster, and we know that to be true. We saw it firsthand last year. They kicked the living hell out of the Bills in Buffalo. They have Jonathan Taylor, the best running back in the league, arguably. At least top three, and we saw it on full display yesterday. You bring in Matt Ryan, a former MVP. You have Michael Pittman. They were good last year with Carson Wentz. I felt coming into this season, Matt Ryan was an extensive upgrade over Carson Wentz. And with a weak division, I felt the Colts were going to be a prime contender to go to the playoffs this year. They looked abysmal yesterday against a Houston Texans team that the Buffalo Bills routed 40-0 just a season ago. Very strange how things operate in the NFL. The Bills beat the Texans 40-0 last year. They might as well have lost 40-0 to the Indianapolis Colts a season ago. Colts came out flat-footed against the Houston Texans and result in a tie week one against a much inferior team. And I had looked at the Colts and thought that that division was going to be theirs for the keeping this coming season. I'm not so sure. Then again, we saw what the Tennessee Titans put on display against just as an inferior team in the New York Giants. What the hell was going on with the Tennessee Titans yesterday? Looking forward to diving into that matchup for the Bills this coming week, because if they decide to show up like that in Orchard Park next Monday, they might as well stay in the locker room, because the Bills are going to run them out of town. Their defense was flat. They got ran the hell over by Saquon Barkley. They allow the Giants offense, that is very, very mediocre at best, to dictate that game in the biggest moments. And they flat out blew the game. And in the biggest moment of the weekend, how about former offensive Bills coordinator Brian Daboll with the biggest balls of the weekend, going for two with Daniel Jones and gets it and wins the ball game. Incredible. Tip your cap to Brian Daboll on an extraordinary week one opener. Was not expecting him to get a W in that situation at all. But hey, for the Bills, we'll take that any day of the week. A potential AFC playoff team with an extra loss in their pocket, we'll take that all day of the week. You know, people forget last year, you know, the Titans exited early, but people forget the Titans were the number one seed in the AFC a season ago. It's incredible to think about that. Like, it really is. They never seemed it, and they sure as hell don't seem it right now. But they're going to come into Monday night with something to prove, you'd think. And they have had the Bills' number as of late. Going into last year, I thought the Bills were going to run them out of the building as well, and it just didn't happen. But there's some key differences this year that I think wind up making a difference. We're going to get into that game throughout the show. Cincinnati Bengals. Wow. You know, that offensive line last year in the Super Bowl, that might have been the worst offensive line in the history of the NFL to make a Super Bowl, which was impressive, sort of. Because you watch what Joe Burrow was able to do behind an egregious offensive line, and you almost gave him more credit than he deserved, just because it was a tougher task to do the things he was pulling off. And then they go into the offseason and they rework that entire offensive line. They upgraded to be to an NFL standard, far from what it was a season ago. And then you're looking at the Bengals and you're saying, man, if they're able to fix that component of their team, look out. That's going to be a scary, scary team. Well, Pittsburgh's D, once again, in week one, similar to what they did to the Bills last year, but not nearly as bad as they did to the Bengals yesterday, they wind up winning the game. I had told you in the offseason, I said that the Steelers last year, they're a playoff team under Big Ben. And if you don't think they're going to be just as good, if not better, with Mitch Trubisky leading the helm, you're wrong. And that's exactly what happened. Mitch Trubisky is perfect for that team. He's never going to be a guy who leads the charge and wins you a game, but I don't think he's going to be the guy to lose you a game either. And with a defense like that, the Steelers once again could be primed for a playoff run. 100%. That defensive front is extraordinary. Now, of course, TJ Watt hurt. And it's unfortunate for Steelers fans. It's unfortunate for anybody who's a fan of the league. You hate to see the top guys go down. The Bills won't have to face TJ Watt when they play him in a couple weeks. He's not going to be available. And we know what he was able to do against us last year. TJ Watt is a game wrecker. But with that aside, yesterday, the Pittsburgh Steelers were able to force 7 sacks against a totally revamped Bengals offensive line. And they not only were able to get Joe Burrow on the ground, but they forced him into 4 interceptions and a fumble. Joe Burrow, on his lonesome, turned the ball over 5 times. The Bengals did everything in their power to give that game away yesterday, down to the missed field goal, the missed extra point, which, by the way, Minkah Fitzpatrick, and this is what I'm talking about when it comes to the Steelers. You can just never count them out. They're like the grittiest team you've ever seen. They always find a way to either be in the game or steal it from you. And that's a credit to Mike Tomlin. I mean, nobody better than Mike Tomlin when it comes to getting the most out of nothing. And that's what we saw yesterday. Cleveland Browns squeak one out against Baker Mayfield. Kind of felt for Baker there. I really did. I thought they were going to wind up getting it done late. But the Browns wind up getting a much-needed victory that they're going to have to stockpile as the season goes on, because without Deshaun Watson, they're lucky to get, you know, a handful of wins here without him. So a big win for the Cleveland Browns if they have playoff hopes this season. Ravens look good. The Jets looked as bad as we thought they were going to. I will say that their defense didn't look nearly as bad as maybe we thought. Their offense is horrendous. Joe Flacco, Zach Wilson, it doesn't matter. Ravens looked good. Thought they might have looked a bit better against a team like the Jets, but it took them a while. They eventually got there. Lamar Jackson looked good. Very shocked to hear that Lamar Jackson is not going to work out a contract until after the season. Very, very strange situation there. The amount of money they offered him guaranteed was more than Kyler Murray, more than Russell Wilson. He still turns it down. Just goes to show you the impact that Deshaun Watson's insane contract is going to wind up having on the NFL, because that's a perfect example right there. If that contract doesn't happen, Lamar Jackson he would have re-signed with the Ravens by now. Just a stunning development, if you ask me. A guy like him, the way he plays, he's already suffered injuries in the past. He's going to wait till after the season to sign a contract. But he looked good yesterday. Ravens improved to 1-0. And now let's talk about the Dolphins a little bit. So, of course, we look at the AFC East. Yesterday, I think your takeaway after watching the Jets, watching the Dolphins, and, of course, watching the Patriots, the question that didn't need an answer was answered. I think we already knew the answer to who's going to be the AFC East champion. I mean, I think I'd shave my head bald if the Bills did not win the AFC East this year. I mean, I don't think there's a thing on the planet that I wouldn't bet on the Bills winning the AFC East. They are just head and shoulders above everybody else. They're a head and shoulder above Miami. I mean, they're a full Josh Allen body length above the Patriots and the Jets. Now, Miami, I got to give credit. Mike McDaniels in his first game, it's not easy being the head coach of the Miami Dolphins. It certainly can't be. It certainly can't be an easy job to be the head coach of the Miami Dolphins in your first game against the greatest coach of all time on the opposite sideline. And I know that, you know, the Patriots, their roster is abysmal, but it's still Bill Belichick, and he's found ways to win games with less. We all know that. Bill Belichick, nobody's been better ever than just finding a way to win when you least expect it. And I think the days of that are done. The days of expecting Bill Belichick to pull one out because he's Bill Belichick are over. I think a lot of that died in the playoffs last year against the Bills. I truly do. That was a soul-crushing defeat for Bill Belichick and that entire organization. And they got worse this offseason. And you know my thoughts on that. I came into this year saying, not only is New England not going to threaten for a playoff spot, I wouldn't be shocked if they finished dead last in the East here. You watch yesterday, you watch the Jets play the Ravens, and you watch the Patriots play the Dolphins. I mean, are the Jets any worse than New England? I mean, and if they are, it is marginal at best. And the Ravens, in my opinion, are a much tougher opponent than the Miami Dolphins. Those two teams right now could be fighting for the worst team in the league, the Jets and the Patriots. I am not kidding you. The Patriots, and I think this is something that people need to start getting used to. I know it's going to be a crazy ride for me as far as really, like really realizing it. I mean, really just kind of basking in the reality of it. They are quite literally one of the worst teams in the entire league, and it was on full display yesterday. They can't do anything. Their defense, awful. Offense, non-existent. It's just not there at all. And the Miami Dolphins worked them. Speaking of those Miami Dolphins, like I was mentioning a little bit earlier, yeah, they looked decent. They looked good. They looked like a wild card football team, right? There's tiers to this. We all know that. You got the tier right now where I would put the Bills, the Chargers, and the Chiefs. Right, the top tier. And then you look at the AFC, and it's really tough to kind of come to a conclusion after yesterday. The teams you thought would be up there, the Bengals, the Colts, perhaps the Titans, if you thought so. Broncos on right now. Hell, they're losing 7-0 to a Seattle Seahawks team. You want to talk about some of the worst roster in the league. That's there. I got it on right now. I'm shocked. Russell Wilson's going to be... You know, I can't imagine if he loses this game. Plenty of time left, though. That's early in the first quarter. But I look at the Dolphins, and yes, they definitely have the makeup for a wild card team, right? They definitely do. But you got fans in the stands, and I'm sure you saw the video. It's been all over Twitter by now. You got fans in the stands going, bring on Buffalo, bring on Buffalo. Look, I would understand maybe you have that mindset if you beat the Patriots of 2000 and whatever, anything other than 2019 and beyond. But you beat a Mac Jones-led Patriots team that quite literally might not win 6 games this year. And you got fans saying, bring on Buffalo, bring on Buffalo. And I love it because that is just, it's hilarious. The Dolphins... I 100% could see them threatening for a wild card spot this year. 100%. Tyreek Hill elevates that team almost immeasurably. They moved the ball better yesterday than I saw them do all last season under Tua Tagovailoa. And it had nothing to do with him. I mean, there are some throws that that guy makes that literally any other starting quarterback in the league right now you would trust to make that throw but him. The arm strength is... it's maybe the worst I've ever seen. It really looks like every throw is a struggle. And if he has to throw the ball on the run, you can forget about it. Tyreek Hill bailed him out of a couple of really bad throws yesterday. Perhaps that's what they needed. And this is what a lot of people had said. They said, hey, you know, Tua might not be the guy. Hell, he probably isn't. But Tyreek Hill can make a guy like that look much better than he is just based on his ability. And I think we saw a bit of that yesterday. I also think it helped that they played a Patriots team that is just flat out bad. And I think they might even be worse than people thought. And people thought they were going to be pretty bad. I know I did. I thought they were going to be bad. I thought they were going to lose to Miami yesterday for sure. 20-7. I mean, that just goes to show you how truly bad that offense was. 7 points, absolutely nothing to show for on offense. And their defense, which they're usually built upon, is no longer anything close to what we can expect from a Bill Belichick defense. Miami's going to win some games this year. They shouldn't, I think, simply because Tyreek Hill adds a much-needed wrinkle to that offense. That team, though, you watched that Miami Dolphins team yesterday, and you think to yourself, wow, you know what? They really could threaten the Bills, not threatened to the extent of winning the AFC East. I think there would be a lot of work needed to be done in order to get to that level, but they could definitely threaten the top of the AFC if they just had a better quarterback. It is remarkable how much a quarterback matters in this league, even when you have a great roster. Miami's got a pretty great roster, and we saw a lot of that on display yesterday. Tua Tagovailoa holds that team back. And you see how much better they can be with better players. I mean, just the addition of Tyreek Hill alone made that team look much better than I saw out of them last year under Tua. But it's just, you're saying bring on Buffalo. You're saying this. I get it. I mean, fans do this stuff all the time. But if you want to compare Miami to Buffalo, you simply cannot do it. You watched the Bills the other night. You watched the Chiefs yesterday. You watched the Chargers, even though it was a closer game. You see the quarterback talent. I mean, hell, even, you know, Derek Carr is far from a bad quarterback. He's a top half quarterback in this league. Justin Herbert makes him look like a schoolyard kid. Matt Stafford, he's a top half quarterback in this league. And Josh Allen makes him look like he should retire. When you're watching the Dolphins versus the Patriots, it just came down to one roster was much better than the other. You watch Mac Jones versus Tua, and nobody's saying, man, I'll tell you what, Tua's making Mac Jones look like the last pick in the draft. No, they're both very mediocre. I'd give the edge to Tua, but that really comes down to the fact that he's got much better weapons to work with, a much better offense to work with. The AFC East, though, all but wrapped up. I mean, the AFC East is all but wrapped up. Like I said, I would bet my entire soul on the fact that the Bills will wind up winning the AFC East. But I can't just put my entire opinion on it because I got to get some other takes in here as well. Is my homerism blocking me out? I like to think it isn't, but potentially it is. And with that said, I bring on my main man, my dog, the Rated Rev.
Hey.
There he is, brother.
What's up, man?
I was just going off about week one. Yeah. There was plenty to talk about, and you caught me in the middle of my rant talking about the Miami Dolphins, New England Patriots yesterday. Rev, yeah. Let's start right off the bat with what we saw out of the Patriots. You knew where I stood on that going into the season from what you saw yesterday. And I was saying this shortly before you joined. They might not just be bad. They might not just, you know, not threaten for a playoff spot AFC East. Rev, is what you saw out of New England yesterday looking like they might wind up being one of the worst teams in the NFL overall come the end of the season?
Yeah, well, you know what? I'm going to be honest with you, but I didn't get a chance to watch like hardly any games yesterday because I'm out there cooking, you know, so I missed, I get that. Yeah, I missed a lot of it. So I'm catching up, man. I'm hearing some rumors and kind of catching highlights or whatever. But I did notice that the Dolphins won, which is, I mean, I guess good for Miami, but I heard you talking about it. And the thing that I have to say about this is that, man, like we expect Dolphins fans and just fans in general to kind of talk up and hype up their team. Right. I mean, we did this for years.
Sure.
When we weren't that good. But I do believe that the Miami Dolphins, that they have talent. They have a lot of talent on both sides of the ball. Yeah. I mean, we look at on the offensive side, they've got Tyreek Hill. Obviously, they brought him there for a reason, right? And Jalen Waddle, Mike Gesicki, the running backs are doing well. The offensive line maybe needs some work, but nonetheless, they have talent. And then on defense too, those guys are stacked across the defensive side of the ball as well. But like you had mentioned earlier, though, Tua is the guy that's holding that entire team up, and completely without a doubt, he is the one that's holding that team up. And so I think the Dolphins could, I wouldn't say fight for the division, but they could finish second. And like you had mentioned, possibly, you know, kind of fighting for maybe a last playoff spot in the AFC. But to think that they can overcome the Bills and win the division, it's not going to happen. And especially the Patriots. So, I mean, we all know, how the Patriots, just looked the entire offseason. They were bad, right? I mean, you had talked about it, you know, a whole lot, just immensely about what they did not do in the offseason to improve their team. The draft was horrible. Offseason was bad. We keep hearing about Mac Jones and all this kind of stuff. And they just, they really have nothing going on for themselves. So I don't see them. I don't see the Patriots competing at all in the division whatsoever. And when you look at what the Bills put on the field this past Thursday night, oh my gosh, how can you not be excited about what you saw? And to me, it's like the Bills, lived up to the hype. I get it. It's one game in, right? But they're against the defending Super Bowl champions. It's not like they played, you know, some bottom feeder team. You know what I'm saying? The Miami Dolphins played against the New England Patriots, who are not very good at all. You know what I'm saying? And so it's not compare. You can't compare that. We went up toe-to-toe, blow for blow, against the defending Super Bowl champions and beat the living daylights out of them with four turnovers. The game could have been a whole lot worse. It's almost like, you know, we gave that to them. You know what I'm saying? It could have been way worse than that. So when I look at the Bills going forward, it's hard for me about to see anybody who can really match up with the Bills, except maybe, you know, KC, because they look pretty good too. The Chargers look pretty good as well. So there's a few teams at the top of the AFC that I think will be there at the end that could give the Bills maybe some resistance. But, man, how can you not be excited about what they did on Thursday night?
Absolutely. And to your point, it's exactly what I said to open the show. I said I went into the weekend, I went into Sunday with kind of those blockers on, where you're watching all the games through the lens of, my God, are the Bills really that much better than all these teams? And the conclusion I came to is the Bills, the Chiefs, and the Chargers, in my opinion, truly showed why they are much different than the rest of the crop. And to me, those are the three. I don't care how you want to shape it. You can argue it to the death. But at the end of the day, the AFC championship comes down to a combination of those three teams. Would be absolutely stunned if it was anything other than that. I mean, those three teams are truly on a different level. It just comes down to the quarterback play, which we know is the biggest difference. And that's kind of what we're talking about with Miami here. That roster, you know, Miami's roster, not much worse than anybody else's in the whole league. But when you don't have a guy like Herbert, like Allen or Mahomes, you see very blatantly how much different your team is than the teams who do have those guys. Let's get to my boy, Jeff Kuhn.
Hey, Jeff.
The Kinger, baby, back in as he always is. Jeff comes in saying, yes, please bring us on the Fins. Jeff, of course, referring to the video of Dolphins fans just begging to bring the Bills on. And they're going to get their dose soon enough. We got 2 weeks till we see those boys. Jeff goes on to say, we have been stomping your dicks in the dirt for decades. And guess what, Fins fans? We're going to keep on stomping just because of that incompetent F behind center. So as you can see, Jeff's
fired up, man.
He ain't a fan of Tua either. No. Maybe a little bit worse than we aren't. I like Tua as a person, but God, man, if that was my team, I'd have a real tough time. Dude. I'd have a real tough time looking towards the future, just knowing the potential you have and how it's kind of just being, it's almost like it's got a governor on it, Rev. That team could really fly. But unfortunately, it seems to have some sort of brakes on it. So,
they definitely have brakes on it, man. And you had mentioned about Tua. It looks like he's struggling to throw every pass. Yeah. I mean, it's reminiscent to me of Ryan Fitzpatrick. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I love the guy, but it seems like every time he would throw the ball, he had to just put his whole body into it, you know, and it barely got down the field. So, Tua. I mean, they're definitely struggling at the quarterback position, no doubt.
100%. The Bills go into Monday, this coming up Monday, against the Tennessee Titans. It's going to be an awesome matchup. I can't wait. We have been looking forward to that one since the schedule came out, mainly because we know what happened the last time we took on the Tennessee Titans. It was a brutal, brutal heartbreaker. I mean, for me, it was one of those games that stung for a very long time. I remember leaving the stadium after that one, Rev, and it just hurt. Now, the question is, we know Tre'Davious White won't be ready for that game. We got some time. But we're wondering what the status of Ed Oliver is going to be. So we're going to have the side doc come on here in just a second, and he's going to chat with us about that. But, Reb, before he does, I haven't even gotten a chance to talk to you yet. Thursday comes to its close, and, you know, overall, your thoughts on what you saw Thursday and just kind of how it had you feeling moving forward here.
Bro, I almost lost my voice. That's how, you know, I went to work the next day, and my boss was like, they call me Rhodey. They're like, Rhodey, man, you know, your voice, what's up with your voice? I said, I almost lost it last night, you know. And I told them, they said, man, you get that Barry White voice going, you know, because it was just like extra deep, you know. Yeah. But man, I was through the roof. Like towards the beginning of the game, I really expected the Bills to really put on a show. I just didn't think that it was going to be a blowout like that. I mean, I thought, you know, the Rams were going to put up some resistance, but I predicted 42-17 or something like that around that, because I felt like if the Bills were on their A game, and looking at the matchups and looking at, you know, the Rams and this and that. And then I just didn't trust Matthew Stafford's arm. I wasn't buying the whole talk about, oh, you know, he's all right. No, I wasn't. I was like, there's something going on with that arm that they're not letting out to be. And so when it went down, man, I was like, oh my gosh, we're about to blow them out. Yeah, just completely wipe them off of the stadium. It was amazing.
Should have been worse.
You know? It could have been a whole lot worse. And I was looking at these turnovers. I'm like, gosh, and man, if we had zero turnovers, I mean, we could have put up 50 on them, guys, like easily. Like it was getting that bad. But I think the most I think the takeaway I felt was like, yo, nobody wants a piece of us. The hype that was
except for those delusional Miami fans, of course, which we can't give them a taste.
They act like they want the smoke, but they don't want the smoke, Bob. They don't want it. They don't want it. If they want some smoke, they need to come to the smoke break first.
Yeah, you know, they got to spend Monday on Buffalo Flags. That's what they're going to get. I'll tell you that. They don't want that pill smoke.
They don't want that pill smoke, man.
That's for sure, Rev. So we're going to get more into that game, touch more on Rev's thoughts afterwards. We'll recap a little bit more week one, and then we're going to dive deep into next week because that's all that matters. We're out of the next one. But before we do, the man that needs no introduction, but I got to give him one anyways. Now I got to figure out, what music did he like the last time? Oh, this is the one he liked last time. Yeah, this is the one. Once, like I said, no introduction needed, but an introduction nonetheless. Here he is.
Oh, man.
Thigh Doc. I got to tell you what, I don't know if Thigh Doc's juicing, but that thigh looks a little bigger than usual. Look at that thing.
He injected that thing, man.
Looking as juicy as ever. The thigh.
He has injected those thighs.
Spot shooting the thighs.
What's up with the shirt? What do you got on there? Let me see that.
Oh, we got the Josh Allen stash.
Oh, nice.
You know what? Thigh Doc always comes out with a sweet custom, man.
He does.
I don't know where he gets half this stuff.
He's hoarding it too. He's like,
is it?
Yeah.
I haven't seen that one.
Limited edition.
All right, Ellie, Thigh Doc only. Do you have I can see that being a logo on a pair of compression shorts for you as well. You got a pair of those?
I'd like these, yeah.
We'll get on to it. All right, so we'll talk Tre'Davious White in a second, just because I think that that's one that we can table for a minute, because we know that it's not something we look at going into this week. What we do look at going into this week is at Oliver. Now, what's crazy, Thigh Doc, is that, you know, last week it almost was like you didn't notice Ed Oliver wasn't in for the majority of the game just because of how well the Bills' D front was playing, and that's a testament to how deep they are. But Ed Oliver, he comes off the field. Now, what I've been hearing, Thigh Doc, it's been kind of all over the place as to what actually happened and what is happening. What have you heard, and what can we expect from Ed Oliver coming into this week?
Yeah, so he sprained his ankle, but it's not a normal sprain. So look what I brought from work today, fellas. This little foot model.
Look at that.
There you go. Yeah.
So this foot's looking at you. So usually when you roll your ankle, it goes to the side, right? So this is the right foot. So you roll it sideways. But what happened with Ed Oliver is he was chasing on that fourth down conversion late in the first half. He planted his foot and he had to turn back. So I'll just model it with my feet here. Can you see my feet?
Oh, we can see him.
Yeah, there you go,
man. Oh my God! Usually you have to charge for this type of stuff, fans. Get excited.
Foot rolled that way, so it went inward. So what he did is he sprained the inside ligaments of the ankle, not your common outside. Oh,
okay.
Yes. Good. So that's the toe side that he had the sprain on. Now, usually these are like the stronger ligaments of the ankle. So if they do sprain, generally they take like a longer time to recover from.
Okay.
But two years ago, Trey White actually sprained his medial ankle, very mild, and he was back in a week. The fact that Ed was able to come back in the game in the second half, but, you know, he didn't play much and then they took him back out, has to mean it's mild. So based on the history, how he was able to come back, his post-game interview said there's nothing really to worry about. I'm going to call this a grade one medial ankle sprain. With a 10-day rest for the Monday Night Football, Ed's going to play.
So you got him on the ready to go list come Monday night.
Absolutely.
Now with that, based on just the depth we've seen and how well they are at rotating in and out of the defensive line and still being as good as any unit out there, do you see him having a limited role or no limit at all? He's full ready to go.
Yeah. So, you know, with coming back off a sprain like that, it might be difficult, but he definitely could suit up and play. This might be a chance for him to do like a 30 to 40% snap count instead of his usual like 50 to 60. So that's kind of the ballpark I look for. Obviously, the flow of the game is going to kind of dictate that, and we'll see where he takes it from there. So now, the caveat is with the medial ankle sprain, the scary part is he almost had a high ankle sprain. So that would have been bad news, guys. That would have been like 3-4 weeks. But
now, if it would have went the opposite way of what you were talking about, that would have been the worst situation.
It's the same type of sprain. Mm-hmm. It kind of, you know, the inside of the ankle is stressed, but it also has to be flexed back when it happens. But if, you know, you could pull up the tweet where I put it, but his toe was pointing down kind of when it happened. So it was just the medial ankle. This was not a high ankle sprain. So he dodged a bullet. Basically, if he was like collapsing a little more, his foot would have been more flexed, and then it could have been a more catastrophic injury. For what it's worth.
Hey, well, love to hear it. I don't know why, but I was thinking maybe he wouldn't be ready to go this week, but that's good news. Love to hear that. The guy we really are hoping to get back, we're dying to get back, it's Trey White. Everybody knows that. You had talked to me earlier that you might have some more to touch on as far as Tre'Davious White goes right now that maybe we haven't heard yet or anything can look forward to there?
Just kind of the same beat. So, you know, he got put on the PUP, so he's out for 4 weeks. But I just don't want people to think that Trey's just going to, like, bounce back in week five. He's not just going to show up for practice the week of the Pittsburgh game, take a couple, you know, 3 days of practice and suit up. So, you know, I put out an article kind of mapping out how this can work. So the team can really slow play it, and they can wait another 2 weeks after the 4 weeks to even just start practicing them. And then he has 21 days to practice before they have to activate him. So we could see him as late as week 10. However, I think he's close enough. It makes sense to just use the 4 weeks, start the practice week five. But I guarantee, almost guarantee, that they're going to use the full 21-day rest period where he can practice and then suit him up for the Packers game.
I was just going to say, that was your initial assessment, right? Go into the bye, keep him out, and then bring him back. Packers game, you're still on that mindset.
Yeah, I mean, he's got to get practice reps. He needs live reps in practice. So it's beneficial that we have the bye week before the Packers game. So he'll come back week five, practice, miss the game, week six, practice. Then he's got a bye week, so we don't lose him for a third game. We'll only miss him for two more games after the 4 weeks, and then he can come back. The best part is if he comes back for the Packers game. I mean, it's Sunday Night Football in Buffalo.
Oh, yeah. I'll tell you what, though, based on what I saw to those Packers wide receivers yesterday, you might want to give them an extra week off going into that one. Speaking of a Pittsburgh Steelers game that you had just mentioned, as far as maybe the game that Tre'Davious White could come back in, somebody that will not be in that game more than likely, T.J. Watt. Awful injury yesterday for anybody who roots for the Steelers. Your initial assessment on that, and is that definitely an injury that keeps him out for the Bills game in a couple weeks?
Absolutely. So he tore his pec. I know they're working on the MRIs, but he said, I tore my pec when he came off the field. Here's the caveat. It could be a Milano situation where it's like not totally torn. It's like a grade two. So it's like, you know, a big chunk of the muscle comes off, but it's still attached to the bone and they don't do the surgery. If that's the case, you're still going to miss like 4 to 6 weeks. If it's totally torn, he's got to get surgery. That's basically a season ender. However, it's so early in the year. If you remember when we played Houston in the playoffs, his brother had a pec tear, had the surgery earlier in the year. It was almost 4 months off, you know, three and change. And he came back early, but he was still a difference maker in that game. So, it's either he has surgery, he'll be available at the very end of the year. That's something you only push if you're in the playoffs. If they're out of the picture, he's shutting it down. But there is a slim chance that the MRI shows it's not totally off the bone, and it's something that's going to need, like, you know, 4 to 6 weeks, 6 weeks if they want to be conservative.
The thigh doc.
Saw the same thing with Milano, where we thought, I think that was the Raiders game, the same game, like, Allen got the AC joint. That he like went out for a tackle, got the arm pulled back. We thought the pec was torn. Worst case scenario, he was gone. But then they found out, hey, he actually don't need the surgery. But if you remember, I think they brought him back a little too early. Then they shut him back down for multiple weeks. So the pec's a huge muscle. I mean, you know, he's not coming back for the Bills game, if that's like the main question you're asking, though.
Well, I think it's all anybody cares about in here. I know that. And yeah, he was wrecking yesterday.
Yeah, and Najee Harris also had a serious injury. What they're reporting is the high ankle sprain. So, again, that's something that takes 4 to 6 weeks. Definitely can bother you for the whole season if you don't get it right. You know, a lot of guys end up having to get the surgery. You know what I mean? So that was like, Zach Moss actually broke a bone when he did his, but he had to get the surgery. Michael Thomas had the surgery and then still had complications, took an extra year to come back. We saw how Zach Moss even struggled the year before. High ankles suck. So,
yeah.
You know, I wouldn't say Najee Harris is going to be out for that game, but he'll just be scratching the surface, you know, week five. So that's another, feather under the cap for the Bills versus Steelers.
Season B's drawn attention to something that I think might have just slipped my mind for some reason. Let's get a close up on that stethoscope. Yeah. I mean, what's going on there? Is that custom?
This is a Zuba stethoscope. Sure is.
Now, what do you got? You got tape on that, or is that a custom job?
Yeah, this one's my custom.
Oh man, see, look, this is what I'm talking about. He comes in here with all this stuff that nobody else can have, and it's really not fair.
Side duck, man.
Imagine getting your heart tested in the clinic with this.
See, I could see myself I could see myself out in the lot going around giving EKGs and whatever the hell else, just because they're necessary. You know what I mean?
Heart rate always goes up when I whip this one out.
Well, of course it does. And you get the dance going. I mean, you're getting everybody getting jiving, and next thing you know, I mean, they're having a heart attack. I know, I was excited the first time I ran into you.
Ohio, ready for some quick mental health facts? Let's go. Nearly 2 million Ohioans live with a mental health condition. In the U.S., more than 50% of people will be diagnosed with a mental illness in their lifetime. Depression is a leading cause of disability worldwide. So why are some of us still stigmatizing people living with a mental health condition when we know all of this? Let's listen to the facts and beat the stigma. Ohio, challenge what you know about mental health at beatthestigma.org.
That's for sure.
Yeah, everyone always asks why I'm gyrating when I'm stretching them. I'm just like, hey, it's just part of the show.
Well, it's like I just watched the Elvis movie, and he couldn't perform unless he was gyrating. And I'm like, shit, that's the thigh doc up there, except it's just a little bit of a different setting, you know? But all right, hey, the thigh doc, always making us smarter. Appreciate you as always, my friend. Man. And I'm looking forward to Oliver back this week. I'm holding you to it. I'm excited.
Yes.
Yeah, all I think he's good.
Thank you, brother.
Thanks, Doc.
The thigh doc. He always makes you smarter, and he always makes you feel more stupid at the same time. You do all that stuff.
That's man. You know all what, right, man? I love what he said though about Ed Oliver, because and here's the thing. I think this is like a blessing in disguise. The fact that we have 10 days, you know what I'm saying, until the Monday Nighter. And so we have all that time for guys to get healthy and get right.
And based on what happened, you know, it's just amazing. And knock on wood again, but the Bills' resiliency, just the ability to keep the core guys upright. I mean, you see what happened yesterday. I mean, not that the Cowboys had any high aspirations this season, but that their season's done. You know, it's over. Yesterday,
it's a wrap. It's a wrap.
And, you know, with the Steelers, I mean, do they even win that game without T.J. Watt in there the majority of the game yesterday? Or do they – you know, is it a different game in its entirety if he stays in the whole game? These injuries can decimate you. Knock on wood, man, the Bills have been real lucky. Speaking of those Bills, we're going to dive into what we can expect next week. Huge game. And I think it really, when you look at the schedule, if the Bills can get it done there, they're going to be off and running as they head into the rest of the schedule. Before we touch on that, though, we have a new sponsor here at the Buffalo Fanatics, and we are super excited to be partnered with them. It's BetUS. If you love football, if you love sports, throwing a little coin in the game always makes it that much more fun, that much more exciting. I know I had a little bit down yesterday, won a little, lost a little. That's usually the way it goes, but you're not me. You're probably better than me at this stuff. And that's why you need to get on BetUS, BF code BF125 for 125% profit bonus. Here's a quick word from our friends over at BetUS.
Football is back, and so is BetUS.com for our 28th year of NFL action. With live in-game betting, incredible odds with daily odds boosters, props, parlay, fast payouts, and exceptional customer service, BetUS has it all. Sign up today at BetUS.com. BetUS, where the game begins.
BetUS, baby. Link is down in the description. If you're watching on YouTube, you just click that link. You use BF125, and then any amount you deposit, you get 125% bonus on that, and you can get after it. Bills are up to minus 10 this weekend, Rev. They are 10-point favorites hosting the Tennessee Titans in Orchard Park, a double-digit favorite. Now, you look at this one, Rev. Now, let's talk about our initial thoughts here. Okay. Because I had looked at the Rams game a week ago, and I said, well, 2.5-point favorites on the road. I can't bet this. I can't bet this game because I do have a ton of confidence in my Bills, but I really thought it was going to be a down-to-the-wire type game, and we got anything about that 2.5 points was chump change. They win by 21. So you go into this week, and now, of course, you have the mentality of, well, minus 10. I mean, hey, I know it's a lot, but we saw what the Bills are capable of last week. You look at this game, Rev, off of last Thursday, your initial thoughts, not only based on what you saw out of the Bills, but essentially with the Titans falling flat on their face against the Giants, what do you expect to see coming up this Monday?
I expect nothing less than what we saw Thursday night. I expect a blowout. I mean, I really do. This is not the same Bills team, and it's not the same Titans team. Without AJ Brown, they've got nothing. They've got nobody. We know the engine that runs that team, and that's Derrick Henry. The Giants beat them. Okay, and Derrick Henry had 82 yards on 21 carries, with no touchdowns. So if we can bottle up Derrick Henry. And you look at this revamped defensive line, by the way, this defensive line looks legit. Yeah, this team looks – they look like the defensive line that we've thought that they could
be. We're talking seven sacks without bringing a blitz, man.
Without a blitz.
It's insane.
Crazy. And I heard Leslie Frazier talk about it. Like, that's what you want. You want to be – he's always wanted to rush four, drop the rest in coverage and get to the quarterback with just four. You don't want to have to blitz all the time. I mean, if you want to use it as a luxury, then go for it, but not a necessity. And we have the dogs up front to be able to get to the passer. Now, we're going to find out, you know, as the season progresses, whether or not that was the Bills' D-line that did it or the O-line of the Rams are just that bad. We'll find out. But we all know what the Titans are about, okay? They're not going to air the ball out. This is all about the run game and stopping Derrick Henry. If we can show that we can stop Derrick Henry, Ryan Tannehill is going to have a heck of a time trying to go and beat us through the air, especially once we get a lead. So I'm looking forward to it, man. 10 points. Look, man, I'm thinking, man, it could be up there, man. 14, 17 points.
Usually I don't like touching games like that, and Bills are not, just because 10 points in any game, you know, just like yesterday. Would I have guessed that the Titans could beat the Giants by 10 points? I absolutely would have. Would I have guessed the Colts could have beat the Texans by 10 points? I absolutely would have. But that's the NFL for you. You just never know. But let me tell you right now, man, these Bills are a different animal. These Bills are a totally different animal. And I'm taking a look right now at what I saw last year. And I was at that game in Tennessee, and I didn't want to speak for 2 days. I had to drive 12 hours home. It was just awful. I hated every single second of it just because of how much I knew that not only were the Bills the better team, but they were this close. They're a Josh Allen trip away. And it really all came down to the fact that, like last year, which we saw on numerous occasions, the Bills were giving up the big play. And that was really the difference. If you remember, there was a massive run by Derrick Henry that wound up breaking the game open. I tweeted out yesterday. I said, you know, it's really hard for me to not think that the Bills just don't wax the Titans coming Monday night. And here's why. You look at the game last year, Rev, 34-31, and the Bills, if it wasn't for that Josh Allen trip that I keep referring to, they win that ball game. Derrick Henry went off for a 143 on 20 carries. So we're talking 7 a clip here, Rev. Yeah. And not only that, but 3 touchdowns, one in which being a 76-yard house call. This defensive line is not allowing those numbers. I'm not saying you shut down Derrick Henry, because that's a tall order for anybody. But I'll be damned if they go out there and allow a 143 and 3 scores again, especially a 76-yarder. With that said, Rev, they do allow that last year, and they still should have won the game. You remove that this year with an improved Bills team, and I don't think you can say at all the Tennessee Titans are improved. Like I was talking before you came on, they're the number one seed in the AFC last year.
Yeah.
I didn't think they looked like it last year at all. I sure as hell don't think they're going to be near that again this year. The Bills are the better team, and the area in which the Titans exposed against them last year is now potentially the strongest element of this Bills team.
Yeah.
I think they destroy Tennessee come Monday. I understand full and well, because of the comment section of my Twitter, which, by the way, this past weekend, good guy, I got to just take a break on Twitter. I was telling the boys earlier, and that's going to be part of my segment later in the show called What Pissed Bot Off This Weekend.
Yeah.
And we're going to get into that in a second, because it's just Oh my God. But the one thing I noticed constantly, and I understand, because it's, you know, the superstition, the don't jinx it. I'm not even worried about that really anymore with this Bills team until I'm probably proven otherwise, and I'm sure at some point it'll happen. But why do I got to suppress my feelings anymore, Rev? I suppressed them last week against the Rams, right? I
don't suppress them, Bob.
Yeah. Why? Why can't I just embrace the fact that this team is as good as advertised?
Right.
Hell, they're better than advertised. Last week, 4 turnovers, 10-10 at half. That game should have been over going into the locker room. They didn't even show us close to what they're capable of last week, and they still get that job done. I mean, think about it like this, right? The Bills win 31-10 with 4 turnovers. Joe Burrow had 4 interceptions, and they lose to a much inferior team in the Steelers. That's the difference right now, in my opinion. So,
yeah,
I see Scotty coming in here. What's Scotty got to say, Reb?
Scotty comes in with a super chat. Scott, appreciate it. He says, yo, if we can contain Henry, we have a real good shot of winning. I mean, look at what we did with the Rams and Donald. We destroyed them.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, that's exactly
what it comes down to. And that to me is why, if I can look at the last year's box score and I can look at the game, you know, in its totality and think back to me being in that stadium, it really all came down to Derrick Henry's ability to bust one off almost every carry. And that did open it up for Tannehill. I mean, he was getting 7.5 yards a clip as well, throwing the ball. He only completed it 18 times. But I remember that really opened up the play action game for them. And it's what kept them in the game all throughout. Like we were just, you know, right in that super chat there from Scott, what he's saying is dead on. And that's why I have no problem throwing my suppression, you know, to the wind here. Everybody in my mentions was saying they've had our number the last couple of years. You know, we got to take each game one at a time. And I totally get that. I totally do. Like I was just saying, didn't expect the Giants to lose, to beat them. Didn't expect the Steelers to beat the Bengals. Didn't expect Houston to tie Indianapolis. I get all that. But the Bills are a better team. And last year they should have beat them. With Derrick Henry going off, what's going to happen when this D-line shows up and doesn't allow him to touch what he did a season ago?
Yeah, well, and see, and that's the huge difference is the defensive line. Star's not on the line anymore. You know, Harrison Phillips is not here. I mean, Daquan Jones and Tim Settle have been, you know, just stupendous across this defensive line. And so when you have those two big guys, of course, you got Ed Oliver in there, too. But those two big guys, you know, rotating in and out, you know, from the just at the one tech position, not even mentioning big man Jordan Phillips. The inside of the defensive line is so, so tough to move to where it just frees up our pass rushers. Ed Oliver, I mean, Von Miller and A.J. Epinesa, Greg Rousseau, Boogie Basham even a little bit. So the defensive line is nothing like it was last year. So if we can, like I said, play big man football and contain Derrick Henry, which I fully expect us to do, it's gonna be a long game for the Titans and Ryan Tannehill. And when I look at last year, just kind of looking at the box score and some of the stats, this is what interested me, because when I look at Josh Allen, he was 35 for 47. He had 47 pass attempts.
Yeah, they couldn't run it at all.
47 pass attempts. Yeah, and they carried the ball 23 times. But I'm looking at, you know, Devin Singletary, 5 for 27. Zach Moss, 8 for 24. You know, they ended up with 82 yards, you know, combined rushing. But now when I look at this past Thursday night's game against the Rams, Josh Allen was 26 for 31 passing. 31 attempts, but look at the rushing, though.
Yeah, that's Rick, right where you want him. The 30 mark is like absolute chef's kiss mark, in my opinion.
It's a perfect balance, because when you look at the rushing, they rushed for 25 when you include Josh and Singletary, who had 8 for 48. They had 121 yards on the ground, averaging 4.8 per clip. So that's the balance that Sean McDermott was talking about in this offseason, having a more balanced approach. That's what you want. You want to be able to, you know, just take Josh's attempts down a little bit to 30, around 35 attempts. But then you want to be able to run the ball at will when you need to, which we showed the ability to do it against the Rams. Now, will we be able to do it against the Titans? That's to be determined. But if we can still manage that balance, that there's no way. There is absolutely no way, you know, that the Titans are going to win unless we end up, you know, having, you know, multiple turnovers again, because we can't expect to have all these turnovers and still win games like we did against the Rams. But I just think that the way it's looking, it's going to be a complete, utter blowout. I think it's going to be that bad of a game for the Rams. I mean, for the Titans, and a great game for the Bills. Josh Allen is—he's a different guy. When you looked at him against the Rams, he just looks different. This guy looks like he started off from where he left off with, right, against the Chiefs, and he is just—I think this is his revenge tour. He's going on a freaking tour, and he's ready to destroy every single team. All gas, no brakes, man. I can't wait for it. And I hope the Mafia shows up like I know they will and turns that place out, baby. It's going to be nice.
Live in there. It's going to be live in there. For those wondering, by the way, Josh Allen finishes with the highest PFF grade of the weekend. Number one overall as far as quarterback is concerned. And, hey, there was some great performances. Mahomes looked terrific. Herbert looked terrific. So just goes to show you truly how much he separated himself from the pack. Rev, I'm so glad you brought up the running game last year, the amount of times Josh Allen threw it, because it's exactly the angle I wanted to take right now looking towards this game. I understand we don't have a Saquon Barkley. I understand Singletary isn't Saquon Barkley. Zach Moss isn't Saquon Barkley. Hell, most running backs in the league aren't. That's a specimen. Me being a Penn State fan, I got to watch Saquon Barkley up in person many a time at Penn State, and to this day he will always go down as one of the greatest athletes I've ever seen in person. Just extraordinary. He's 1-of-1. With that said, however, the Giants ran the ball at will against this Tennessee Titans team the other night. Yeah. 32 carries for 238. They were averaging 7.5 yards a carry.
Yeah,
I understand, right? Saquon Barkley, he's back, he's healthy. And when he is healthy, he's one of the better running backs in the league. With that said, though, Rev, he went off for $164. He's averaging 9 yards a carry. And you might say to me, well, okay, but it's still Saquon Barkley. He's capable of doing that. Daniel Jones even had 25 yards on the ground.
Yeah.
If Daniel Jones can rush for 25 yards, 4 yards a carry, Matt Breida was rushing for 5 yards a carry. You're telling me after last week, seeing how Josh Allen ran the ball, seeing how Devin Singletary ran the ball last week. I mean, if you go to the Rams game, right, a much, much, much better D-line for the Rams than the Tennessee Titans. Josh Allen ran the ball for 5.5 yards a carry. Devin Singletary ran the ball for 6 yards a carry. And Singletary was suppressed last week. 8 for 48.
Yeah, he was.
Better get some more carries this week, especially after what the Giants just did to these Titans.
Yeah.
But the point I'm trying to make here, Rev, is they ran the ball at will against these Titans, and it allowed a quarterback as mediocre as Daniel Jones to go 17-21. And we know how efficient Josh Allen was last week. He broke the single game completion percentage record. You mean to tell me, knowing the capability of Singletary and what he did last week, knowing the capability of Josh Allen and his running game, that they can't touch down on similar rushing numbers while also extending even further the passing game way beyond what the Giants did against the Tennessee Titans? Rev, I'm with you all the way. To me, man, this game is going to be floodgates busting open, and I can't wait because we need that.
Ah, yes,
them Titans,
yes, man. That's what I'm saying, dude. It's gonna be nice. I can't wait, man. I need motor. I mean, they have to at least test the D line of the Titans, right? At least see if were they able to correct, you know, what happened, against the Giants. I mean, were they? If not, keep pounding that rock, man. But there's no way they're gonna be able to stop Josh Allen. They can't do it. And if we can balance that with an efficient running a game, it's ridiculous, man. It's game over. It's game over.
And back to this point here by Saylor, because this is what I was talking, and I was heavy on this last week. Because the reason the Rams game was so big to me is because that game was hyped up to no end, as were the Bills. And the way that that game went to me was going to be just an unbelievable amount of confidence either gained or lost for the Bills just from that one game alone. Yeah. After you go out and do what you did to the defending champ, you mean to tell me that not only are they hitting this game full stride, but they're also taking on a team who might be hanging their heads right now. They just lost to a rookie head coach in his first game against a franchise who hasn't been able to beat anybody. I mean, that was an embarrassing loss for the Titans.
Right.
And, if the Bills didn't need any other fuel off of coming off of that victory, Josh Allen, you know, he uses any scrap of whatever he can get his hands on to give himself motivation. He has not gotten it done against these Tennessee Titans. They have had their number, and he knows the last time they were out, he was an inch shy. I'm telling you right now, they're coming into this game with a full head of steam. And not for anything else. It's under the lights and it's at home. And we all know what happened the last time it was under the lights and at home. The yes. Bills put on one of the greatest offensive performances the NFL has ever seen. Mm. I mean, Rev, I really have nothing but the utmost confidence going into this week. And I really would love somebody to tell me a reason otherwise. I just don't see how you can compare these two teams, especially after you saw what a much worse offense in the New York Giants was capable of doing against this Tennessee Titans defense just a week ago or just a day ago.
I don't see it happening. I honestly don't see it. I mean, unless we just poo-poo the bed, which I don't expect to happen at all, because I think this team, I think they still have that taste in their mouths from the KC divisional game. I think that is still fresh in their mouths. They hate that what happened, right? And they're coming full steam ahead this entire season. And I think we all can expect this type of football from them for the rest of the season. Granted, will there be some ups and downs? Yeah, I think so. But I don't think that we can expect them to have these quote-unquote trap games like they did last year, Jags game or losing, you know, these close games. I don't see that happening at all. They look laser-focused. And this game against the Rams, I mean, say what you want, but this was a huge statement game for the Bills. All the pressure was on Buffalo this game. There was hardly any pressure on the Rams defending Super Bowl champions. You would think that they would have some pressure. No, it was all on the Bills because of the hype. And they went in that game into SoFi Stadium, Bills Mafia leading the charge, right? And they just handled business like there was no pressure at all. And I can't – and now they get to come home and play the team that they lost against that haven't been able to win in the past couple of seasons. And you think for 1 second that Josh Allen and the Buffalo Bills and the entire team is not going to be coming for blood. Josh is going to be taking souls. He's going to be just snatching them left, right, and center, like my man Rico says. And it's going to be over early. It's going to be – they're going to deflate them very early, man.
Truth Through Hearts coming in saying, "Bah, Josh is 1-2 against the Titans, so I wouldn't say they have his number." I mean, I agree. Obviously, it's not like, you know, it's not like what the number Brady had against the Bills. That's not what I'm getting at. What I'm saying is, though, the last two outings, the Titans made the Bills look inferior to who they actually were, right? Yes. Last year, the Bills were a better team. They lost. The year prior, the Bills were the better team. They lost. And I don't really know how to explain it. I mean, the COVID game was so odd. The Titans beat the hell out of the Bills, and it made no sense, really. They just didn't show up. And then last year, it just came down to the fact that they let up one too many big plays, and they didn't do enough at the end. They slip, they fall, they lose. I don't think – and what I'm getting at here is when I say they have his number, I want Josh Allen to think they have his number. Right?
Yes.
Because if Josh Allen thinks they have his number, then he's going to make sure that they lose that number. It's like going up to the – it's like, you know – you go up to the girl at the bar and you give her your number, right? And she's way out of your league. She's going to lose that number. She's going to throw that thing in the trash, move on with her night. That's what I want Josh Allen to do with the Tennessee Titans coming up this weekend. I also look at it too, Rev, and I just think that when you look at the Monday night situation and kind of the aura that comes over these Bills recently in these primetime games, they just seem to have a different swag about them. And I think that us getting that taste of that again at home, I know people can actually kind of, they can spin it into a way where they say, well, it doesn't mean anything. It means something, whatever. I personally think, and I've been there too many times to count it out, the under the lights, like vibe and energy at the Ralph in a game like that, it adds fuel. And this is a team that we haven't seen this team in that environment yet. And honest to God, man, I think it could be scarier than last week. I just do. The Rams are a better team, and the Bills did not play to their full potential. And I just think you add all these elements together, man. I just don't see. I mean, I want someone to make the argument to me as to how they see this game being like a barn burner. The only reason I felt last week that I saw that is because the Rams have a terrific D. They have a terrific wide receiver core. Matt Stafford's right up there. Outside of Derrick Henry, I mean, the Titans just don't have any of that. It's just not a comparison. The Rams to Bills were a comparison to me. Very evenly matched team.
Yeah.
Bills-Titans, this year, I just don't see it.
Yeah, and we knew the weakness, you know, the Bills in the past, you know, couple of years was just the D-line going against offenses that had that power running game with the legit back, the Derrick Henrys, the Jonathan Taylors. We just weren't strong enough and stout enough on the defensive line to handle those guys. So, but now this year, and granted, when you look at the Rams, Darrell Henderson is no Derrick Henry, right? I mean, but the Rams can run the ball though. But we shut that mess down completely.
Oh my
down.
God, we had every fantasy owner in the world wanting to jump off the nearest bridge because of Cam Akers.
Yeah,
and whatever. How Darrell Henderson, like you said, there was nothing going on.
Nothing going on. And so I think right now Leslie Frazier is going to have these guys focused, shut down Derrick Henry quick. The defensive line is strong and stout. Like I said, when you add a guy like Daquan Jones, and then Tim Settle, and then you bring in Jordan Phillips back, all three of those guys right there, just the big beefy guys up front, are enough to handle that. Okay, not to mention then you add in Ed Oliver, who's going to be back healthy, coming off the ball really fast, getting the backfield. It's gonna be tough sledding for Derrick Henry to kind of get rolling. Now, granted, we know with him it's a four quarter dogfight. You got to be able to withstand him for four full quarters, because that's he just gets heated up the more he gets carried. So, but I think what helps us out though is that we have such an incredible rotation across the defensive line where we can keep these guys fresh for the entire game. We can give waves and waves of defensive linemen, you know, to handle what we can expect from Derrick Henry throughout the course of the game. So I think that if we shut him down, it's a wrap. They don't have A.J. Brown. That was a key. Last year they had A.J. Brown and Julio Jones, and both of which, when we played them, the entire Tennessee Titans, they were healthy. They had gotten back from being injured, and we played them at full strength. And that was their game, was that play-action game. They had Derrick Henry, they run the ball hard, play action to A.J. Brown, Julio Jones. That was their thing. They don't have any of them now. All they have is Robert Woods. You know what I'm saying?
And so, who had one catch yesterday.
Yes. So, I mean, outside of that, I don't see it. I don't see it.
Julio Jones looked better last night in one game with Tom Brady and Bucks than he looked in any single game the entire season last year.
Yeah, man. It's that TB12, man. I think he's on TV. I think Tom Brady got him on TB12, but he looked good.
He looked as good as he ever did. I'm like, God. Who else but Brady and the Bucks? Yeah. The Mafia King coming in, my main man. He's always showing love everywhere, all across the platforms. And Mafia King saying Tannehill hasn't won in Buffalo in his career, and his stats in Buffalo aren't good at all. It's a great point. I actually did not know. Well, actually, that's not true, though, because Tannehill won in the COVID game in Buffalo. But I think you're probably referring to games that were where there were fans in the stands. And I'm going to go with that point because that's the ones that matter. Mm-hmm. That COVID game, forget it. Who cares? Nobody was there to witness it. I know for a fact, though, I think Tannehill prior to that, I know his stats aren't good. That was the outlier. And like I said, that's why these games are very odd to me, because that game in particular, there was no way the Titans were that much better than the Bills the way the score reflected that game. That's why it was so odd to me. Rev, the one thing I want to touch on going into this game that was definitely the biggest concern for the Bills last week was the four turnovers. Now, you look at those four turnovers on paper and you say, man, that's a lot. I mean, right? That's a lot, right? Isaiah McKenzie hands one over. Absolutely hands one over, right? That is not on Josh Allen. That ball should be caught. It usually is caught 99 out of 100 times. That's one of them. The other, bad interception from Allen. He stared it down way too long. It was the most time he had to throw almost all day, and he turned it over. It was a bad pick, but it was a great interception as well. It was a great play on the ball. But that in itself, yes, definitely, on Allen. Mm-hmm. James Cook, fumble. I got to chalk that one up, man, to a rookie with nerves. I don't know what else you could put it up to. His first carry, and he fumbles it. And I'll tell you this, Rev, I doubt we see much of him at all this coming week, if any. We know how McDermott operates there.
Yeah.
And then Zach Moss with a fumble that is uncharacteristic. And I just look at that as saying, okay, well, hopefully you got it out of the way now. The way I saw it last week, Rev, with the turnovers, the four seemed more than it actually felt like. I don't think we expect Allen to throw two on a consistent basis, especially when one of them really wasn't on him. No. Brett, he threw the ball for about 85% last week. I mean, I don't really think he's going to go into this game and all of a sudden just start turning the ball over left and right.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the fumbles, usually that's not a consistent thing. The James Cook, I'm tossing that one up to him being, I mean, I don't know what else to say. Right. I mean,
just rookie, man. Yeah. Just rookie mistake. You know, he learned from it, I think.
For you, though, is that something that, you know, is concerning to you, or do you look at it as, hey, glad you got it out of the way, especially in a win like that, move on, not worried about it?
Yeah, no, I'm not concerned. I mean, game one, it happened. It was unfortunate. You know, rookies, I mean, he fumbled the ball. He got sat down for a while, right? And got a chance to reset and came back in for a little bit. But you know, that was it. Zach Moss, as you mentioned, that's why, and I'm gonna say this, and I know Pierre's in, I know he's in the chat. He's gonna appreciate this. That's why we need Motor to handle the bulk of the carries.
He needs at least double digit carries, man.
Forget this whole. This is our, you know, running back by committee. Let's give Zach Moss some care. No, for what? We saw what Zach Moss did. Give the ball to Motor. Let him be your lead guy. Unless he needs a blow, then leave him in the game. You know what I'm saying?
Agreed.
And if you throw some wrinkles in there, you know, and bring James Cook in as a receiver out of the back, then do that. But the leading back on this team needs to be Motor Singletary. Give him 10 to 15 carries a game and leave him alone. Stop this mess, man. You know what I'm saying? But anyway, so I chalked that up to just coaching. Don't, because Motor didn't fumble the ball. He didn't fumble it. And then, you know, that Josh Allen interception that he made when throwing across the middle to Jamison Crowder. I think, man, if you look at it closely, man, Jamison, look at it on the replay. Crowder slowed up. He slowed up on his route.
I think he was expecting
to kind of sit down in the zone, and he was supposed to keep on going because it was man coverage, and Josh was expecting him to keep going across. Now, Josh didn't throw the best ball. I think he threw it a little bit late, but still, Crowder, he should have hit that thing and just kept running. But I don't see it ahead
of him. Well, maybe you chalk that up to a lack of chemistry between the two. Either way, though, I do agree with you. It did seem like there was some miscommunication, but Allen had enough time. Either way, it wound up being an interception. To me, it's more on Allen for that pick than, of course, it was with NZ1. But you know,
I will say this. Let me jump in. I guarantee you this. I put this tweet out too during the game. I said I guarantee Khalil Shakir will not be inactive.
Yeah, I'm interested to see that. I hope he isn't. He shouldn't be. No reason to keep five linebackers and five running backs this week. Let Khalil Shakir get some burn.
Let him do it.
Let him get some burn. And you know what? You know what else, Rav, man? I understand, like, that Scotty's coming in here saying, you know, four was not good. Of course it's not good. You know, one's not good. I don't want any. Four, let alone four. You know what I mean? Scotty's saying, you know, it will bite us if we don't clean it up. I agree. At the same time, though, look, go ahead and turn the ball over nine times. You're going to win the game by three touchdowns. I mean, really, if your defense is going to be able to bail you out every single time, obviously you're not rooting for it. But the thing is that if you can go and do that and still win in the fashion that you did, that's why I'm not concerned. And I think that also gives the offense a bit of added, it gives them an added edge. It allows Allen to just do more than I think he would have been able to last year, knowing, hey, we can try this out, bomb it deep. God forbid we turn the ball over here. I trust my defense to get it back for us. I think that means a lot on those shoulders of a quarterback to know that you trust your defense enough to get the ball back for you if and when you do make a mistake.
Hands down. I mean, and Josh even mentioned it, you know, the defense bailed these guys out, you know what I'm saying? But I think they're going to clean it up. It's not you definitely don't want to have, you know, turnovers, let alone multiple turnovers in a game. But I just don't think it's reason for concern right now after game one. Now, if we're 3-4 weeks into the schedule and we're still turning the ball over like that, then that's room for, wait a minute, there's an issue here. But I think that they clean it up. We'll see what happens this game and go from there. But I'm glad they got it out the way. But it is good to know. It's reassuring, like you said, to know that, man, you got a defense that can shut down the defending Super Bowl champions to 10 points, and we can still beat them by 21.
And that's a defense without a world-class corner. I mean, just it's just amazing how good this team really is right now.
For those, you know, it's amazing. You know what's amazing? That the Seattle Seahawks are beating the Denver Broncos right now, 17-10.
You took the words right out of my mouth, Beth. I appreciate you saying that, because that's just where I was going to go. I would say, for those wondering, Geno Smith is dicing the Denver Broncos right now. And it's just another feather in the cap towards that was supposed to be perhaps the best team in the AFC this year. And like I said, this is what's the beauty about a Monday after the week one. It's overreaction central. But the Broncos are a much better team than Seattle. And I mean, come on, Russ, you're coming into your home venue after all this time. And Geno Smith's got the lead potentially going into half. And he looks good.
Geno Smith.
Very odd.
Yeah. I don't, man.
I love it, though. I got a little money on the Broncos, though, so I need to move. At the same time, though, if they do lose, hey, fine by me. That's another AFC loss.
Man, I didn't expect that.
You know?
Yeah, I did not expect this at all.
Everybody we saw this week, it makes, and I, like I said, you know, I go into the weekend with the blinders on of watching. the games under the impression that the Bills are just better than everybody. But man, I got proved right like just about every game. The only game that made me go wow was like the Chiefs, because they just destroyed Arizona.
Yeah.
And they were scoring at will. They didn't miss a beat. And I was saying earlier, I mean, you know, everybody wanted to write them off losing Tyreek. I'm like, dude, wait a minute. They still got Mahomes, man. I really don't care. And it's not like they lost that much else. I mean, they added Juju. They got weapons. They still got one of the greatest offensive minds in Andy Reid.
Yeah.
I mean, those guys are as good as they've always been, in my opinion. Yeah.
I actually thought they were going to miss Tyreek, man, to be honest.
Sure.
But Juju, you know, Juju's, I mean, he's decent. You know what I'm saying? I mean, he's not – none of them provide what Tyreek Hill can, but on the other side, it does make Mahomes stretch the ball out more and stop focusing solely on Tyreek Hill. And you know what I'm saying? So when he's able to spread the ball out like that, it's going to be tough. And so when the Bills match him, we're going to see, man, that because if Mahomes is able to throw the ball like that and really just take what the defense gives them and can dink and dunk and hit Juju here, Marquez Valdes-Scantling here, Mecole Hardman here, hand the ball, run the ball, you know, it's going to be a game, man.
Dude, sorry, but this just popped up on my screen. Geno Smith is 17 of 18 for a 164 and 2 scores.
I looked at it too, man. Isn't that crazy? And then we look at Russell Wilson. He's 7 for 10 for 153 and a touchdown.
Dude, I got to tell you, man. I mean, there's still a whole half left. We're talking all time L if this holds up. I'm talking like never, ever not talking about it again, L. That's how bad this would be.
Yeah, I'm just like, I'm flabbergasted.
Me too.
Right now, man, because the Broncos got a serious squad.
Well, I'm going to get to that in a second. White Town's King coming in. What's up, White Town? He's saying, Geno learned a lot behind Wilson, and he was able to develop in a system without the pressure to play. I've never had a problem with Geno. I mean, I don't think he's a bona fide starter, but if there was a backup in the league that I'd want to turn to, it'd probably be Geno. And if your options are him and Drew Lock, I'm going Geno all day. We've seen glimpses of Geno play some great ball. So you got to think, though, on top of that, you want to talk about finding added motivation and whatever else. You don't think Pete Carroll was hyping this game up to no end this week. These guys are playing as hard as Russ is out there now, for sure, you know. Before we wrap it up here, I wanted to dive into something. We want to get your guys' opinion on something, because I tweeted this out and oh my God, it just went to the moon. It went everywhere. I got like 100,000 views. And the thing is for me is like, I just tweet things out that I initially think at the time or I feel, and I don't really think that deep into it. But oh my God, sometimes, man, people will take these things to the end of the earth, and my mentions have not stopped blowing up over the biggest thing of bull I've ever seen in my life. So let's take a look. I want to get the fanatics' opinions here. This is super, super damn annoying to me, the amount of just constant mentions I'm getting. I didn't even know the Chargers had fans, and every single one of them that exists has been in my mentions. All right, so here's what I tweeted, okay? And let it be known, because, Rev, you know it better than I do, or as well as I do. How many times on this show have you and I said, man, I love Justin Herbert? Like, Justin Herbert is.
Absolutely.
I love Justin Herbert, and he played fantastic yesterday. Let me preface that right off the bat. I love the guy. He's freaking phenomenal.
Yes.
As far as entertainment value is concerned, to me it goes, you know, it's right up there with Allen. It's Allen, Mahomes, and Herbert. Like, the Chargers are a must-watch. Like, this coming Thursday, Chargers-Chiefs, man, I am stoked
to
watch.
That's going to be an incredible game.
Yeah. Yeah. So I got no ill will, and I got no ill will against the Chargers. They got the best uniforms in the league. I'm just prefacing that, because the amount of people in here that, oh, you hate the Chargers or the Bills suck. I'm like, dude, man, you people, unbelievable. So this is what I tweeted out, and I want to get your guys' thoughts on this play. And this is not an indictment to Herbert. My point here was, this is what separates Josh Allen from everybody in the league. And how many times have you heard the Herbert to Allen comparison? Probably a million times, just like I have. Allen is different. There's comparisons to be made here. Mahomes, Allen, Herbert, I get it. But what I was getting at right here is, this is what separates Josh Allen from everybody. As you can see right here, okay, Justin Herbert has the ball right here. You see him, number 10.
Make it big.
As you can see right ahead of him, he has a clear path to the end zone. He's at about the 9-yard line right now, and he's got nothing but daylight ahead of him to get into the end zone.
Blow it up. Blow it up. Expand it.
if I blow it up, it'll disappear for some reason. Remember that last time I talked forever and then it and nobody knew it was, I didn't know it was up.
That was classic. I love
that. That was because of that. I learned my lesson. So as we scroll along here, right? Uh-huh. Herbert's taking it. Now, automatically, right off the bat, terrible angle.
Yes.
Why is he not running dead on? Why is he not running dead on into the end zone? He's running to the left towards the defender in the top left of the mm-hmm. screen. Okay, but even so, okay, right now he's at the 5. He's still got a 5-yard window to the end zone, whereas the D-back in the top left there
yes.
has about, what, 8? Herbert's right. got him beat. Herbert, now look at, he's hitting the brakes. He's running away from the end zone, and he's hitting the brakes. He's not heading into the end zone full stride. He's hitting the brakes 4 yards early with a wide open window towards the defender. Now he stops and slides into a helmet-to-helmet tackle. And this was a penalty, which, by the way, I don't understand what the defender is supposed to do here. The defender is pursuing him, and Herbert stops and reluctantly, haphazardly, and late slides into this defender and almost gets his head decapitated.
Yeah.
It's an awful play by Justin Herbert. Awful. If he doesn't slow up here, he runs right into the end zone. Yes, he might get tackled. God forbid a football player got tackled. Instead, he slides into an oncoming defender too, mind you, and almost gets his head absolutely decapitated. I thought he was dead when I first saw the play. I couldn't believe he got up. And so what I said is, the difference between Allen and Herbert can be shown in that play right there.
Yeah.
Josh Allen scores on that play 100 out of 100 times.
Easily.
And he bulldozes you over or he takes the hit.
That's right.
And you got to see some of these quote tweets on here. Just people like, everyone's saying Allen's career is going to end. And that's why he'll be around. I love this one. That's why he'll be around longer. Nice cell phone. So what I just wanted to talk about how much this tweet has just completely pissed me the hell off the last because I don't understand. And this is what I tweeted afterwards. I comment back. I say, are people not watching the same play I am? I mean, what are your thoughts, Rev? I mean, is this not just a real bonehead play by Herbert, who I love? I'm just looking at this and I'm thinking he puts himself in much more of harm's way sliding than he would have had. He had just ran it into the end zone. And everybody's trying to tell me that this was the smart, safe play. No way.
No, that was a dumb play. I mean, that was a play of a guy who in my opinion, either lacks vision or has no heart when it comes to scoring at will. Like I don't know with the angle that you showed when he was right there. He wasn't even looking to the right
all day.
He wasn't even looking to the right. As soon as he broke, he could have just cut to the right, and he had a clear path to the end zone. And so I don't get it. This right here is reminiscent of Kevin Cobb. Was it Kevin Cobb who slid?
I think
Who slid on, was it like third and short or something like that? I mean, he slid short of the first down marker. This is ridiculous. Like I don't know what he was doing. He got scared last minute. But the guy, he's not a small guy. That's what I don't get.
He's just as tall and just as
happy. He's just as tall and as big as Josh Allen is.
Yes.
So for him to go down, because he's a small little cornerback coming
out. Everybody's trying to tell me, Rev, that this was the smart, safe play, and this is why Herbert will have a much longer career than Josh Allen. I'm like, are you out of your mind? Watch this.
No, because that's exactly
his head almost comes off of his neck.
Yes. That right there is...
Yeah,
that's worse than the hit he could have gotten. That's a whole lot worse.
Because and what I was trying to say, but to me, that was a great example of what separates Josh Allen from everyone. And the thing is, I just had this conversation the other night. I want Josh Allen to stop with the designer runs as much as everyone. Like last week, there was like 4 or 5 runs towards the end of the game that just did not need to be called. Allen did not need to be getting hit that late. They were running him right up the middle. I didn't quite understand the need to keep doing it. Yeah. So I am on that wave of, hey, let's preserve Allen unless it's necessary or unless it's a creative enough play to where he's not bashing into Aaron Donald 4 or 5 times with a 3-touchdown lead. With that said, yes, when it comes to a play like that, would I much rather have Allen go head on into the end zone and take a form tackle and score than run into the defender and slide with his head up into an already committed tackle where the odds of him either completely shattering his leg on the slide or getting concussed based on a committed tackle are much higher?
Yeah.
I mean, I had a lot of Bills fans saying, like, and the thing is, like, everybody always, people are like, Creating a rivalry that isn't there. No, I like Herbert a lot. I'm saying you line up 32 quarterbacks, Rev, and I'm guessing 28 of them probably slide there, right?
Yeah.
Like, and I think maybe Allen might be the only one who actually scores, because instead of getting, you know, hit before the end zone, he probably hits the guy into the end zone. But
exactly right. Yeah. And he would have taken a much better angle than that. That's ridiculous. Like Justin Herbert, like when you slide in last minute, you just setting yourself up for a brutal hit, because the defenders have already committed. There's nothing they can do. They can't let up. And so if you go low at last minute, you're gonna get knee to the head, or something is gonna knock you in the head. As opposed to a 6'5", 6'6", 240-pound quarterback just taking a hit from a cornerback, that doesn't make any sense. That was not a smart play at all. Especially if you're gonna slide, then don't even run in the first place. You know what I'm saying? Just you know what I'm saying? Don't take off, and definitely don't slide last second like that. That was just crazy.
AKI Waterfall saying, I don't care about regular season, chill out with the Braveheart stuff until the playoffs. To me, that's not a Braveheart thing, though. The point I'm getting at is the slide was the more dangerous play. That's why I'm taking what Allen would have done there, which is run right into the end zone. I think Allen's much more likely to get out of the play healthier if he takes a form hit from a guy upward than he would sliding. And the thing is, he stopped, right? And then he did it so late that the hit was already committed to. Your head screwed. So that's what I'm getting at. I understand. Because there are moments where I really want Allen to slide, man, and he just won't do it.
Yeah.
He won't do it. But in that moment, like what Sailor Jerry's saying here, I can see the play in my mind. Jim Kelly did score on a play like that. It is just a play there where I think you are in a better circumstance all around if you just run it in.
Yeah, all right,
Buck 34 in the books. Before we depart and go our separate ways for the evening, I want you to give me your final score prediction for next Monday night.
Nice.
Give me a nice good reasoning as to how you got to that number.
Okay, let me see here. So we put up 30 plus or 30 on the Rams. I'm telling you right now, man, I think it's – I'll give it – 42. I'll give them now. I don't even want to give them no points, man, to be honest with you.
I know.
I'll make it fair. I'll say 42-17. I'll just kind of give them support, because I think it's going to be that type of a game, man. When the Bills offense is on their A game, they cannot be stopped. You look at the Chiefs game against the Chiefs in the divisional round. They started right where they left off against the Rams with four turnovers, mind you. Okay, so I don't see them scoring less than 30 points. I think they can get to 42 easily, and then I'll just give the Titans 17 points just because I don't want it to see like it's going to be a 40 burger to zero. You know what I'm saying? I'll give them that.
38-17. Every part of this Bills team is just better.
Way better.
And I think that inevitably, Derrick Henry's going to put him in a position to score at some point. But I think we're going to look at this game kind of like we looked at the Rams game and think 38-17, man, it could have been worse. And it looks like a lot of people in the comments are very similar. I'm seeing 48-10, 45-7, 57, 57, 24. Hey, look it. I don't care which one of those it is. I'll sign up for any of them. Rev,
right.
Tell them what's going down with you Wednesday night, where they can find you and what to look forward for.
Man, you guys, you know where to find me, man. You see the banner behind me. It's Buffalo Fanatics, baby. This is how we do it all day, every day. Every day of the week, we've got something going on. Catch me Wednesday night at 8:30 Eastern Standard Time right here on the Fanatics Network. Make sure you follow us on all of our socials. Go to supportbf.com. You find us on every social media platform available. And man, I can't wait. It's going to be off the chain. You know, it's going to be a fire show. Like, I bring the energy. So you better come with it and get with me here. But make sure you do our guys, man, some solid favors. Smash that like for my man Z-Bot. He's a fantastic. I was waiting for you, man, I thought you was going to put on the Zuba overalls, man, but I guess.
Decided I'm saving it for victories now. That's going to be my thing.
I'm okay.
Zuba's hat.
Man, I love those, man.
And overalls on for the victory, because I feel like I need to earn it. I need to earn that fit. I can't just be walking out every time, you know?
I got you, man.
Like Rev said, like on the way out, if you wouldn't mind. Hit that subscribe button if you haven't already. Ring that bell because we got videos coming out every single day, and you're going to want to get in on all of that. Smoke break next week is not going to be on a Monday because guess what? Them Bills are on a Monday, and I'm going to be at that game. I know many of you will be too, and nice. We'll figure it out. Follow my Twitter at ZachB22. I'll update you as to when there will be a smoke break next week because I guarantee you there will be one. It's just a matter of when. Maybe I swap with Rico on Tuesday and he does after the show or after the game on Monday. I don't know. We'll figure it out. But I'll let you know on Twitter, so make sure to follow over there. Thank you again to my main man, Rev, for hopping on tonight. Week one was too good to do it alone tonight, so I'm glad you came on.
Anytime, baby.
Enjoy the rest of your week. First game of week two, Chiefs-Chargers. You're going to want to check that one out because that could really be a preview as to what the Bills could look to with the playoffs coming not soon from now. Let's focus on the Titans first. Hey, won't see you until then, so enjoy that Monday nighter. I'll see you afterward. Sir. Have a great week, everybody. Thanks as always for tuning in. And as always, go Bills.